Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now, here's a message from Pastor Dan Roth.
Amen. Today, get your Bibles out and go with me to Hebrews, the 13th chapter. And today we're talking about a subject called praying for the persecuted church. As we've been going through the book of Hebrews, we have found that we are to let brotherly love continue, and that a part of that is being hospitable, that we are to have care for the body of Christ and care for one another, and that some people, as they have cared for others, have entertained strangers and found out later on that they were actually entertaining angels. Kind of a cool understanding. And as we went through that understanding, we realized that not only was there the angelic beings, but also that there were demonic beings, and that there was a battle that we were fighting, and that we needed to realize the weapons of our warfare and how to fight that battle. We come to verse number 3 of Hebrews, the 13th chapter. In Hebrews, the 13th chapter, verse number 3, it says this. It says, remember the prisoners as if chained with them, those who are mistreated, since you yourselves are in the body also. If we will remember the prisoners, I believe that it will push us, as we heard last week, to actually pray for the persecuted church. Because you can't be mindful of somebody's pain and suffering and trial without going before the Lord and praying for them. Anybody this week had the reminders on their phone, anybody actually pray for the persecuted church? All right, cool, that's great. I would encourage anybody in this place that you set a reminder, or maybe you put something that will help you to remember to pray for the persecuted church. Maybe you want to get connected with email updates from Voice of the Martyrs, or go to persecuted.com, or those sorts of things, so that you can find out, what do I pray for? How do I pray for the persecuted church? As well, we have our world prayer teams that met in between services, and Dr. Kobernick will get you on his email list. If you want to get a hold of that, just email at rockchurch.com and they'll forward your email address over to him. But it just is a way to help us to remember to pray for the persecuted church. When we read through the word of the Lord like we did today, sometimes we can just pass over a verse and we can say, okay, I've got that, I understand that, and we move right on. And over the years, I've been a Christian. I committed to the Lord early on. I was 15 years old when I got saved. So for over 20 years now, I have been just going through the Word of God. And every year of my life, I just continue through the Word. It's a part of my custom, if you will. You know, God can even work in our routines. God can work in the things that we do regularly. And I have a regular practice. Every morning I wake up, I read from the Old Testament. Every night before I go to bed, I read from the New Testament. So that's the first thing on my mind when I wake up and the last thing on my mind before I go to bed. And it's just worked its way into my heart. You know, when you continuously put in the Word of God will become a part of your life, and it will bear fruit in each and every area of your life. And I don't know how many times I've read Hebrews, the 13th chapter, verse number 3, and I've understood it, and I've just kind of moved on. But a couple years ago, maybe in the past few years, this verse has really become a part of my life. And as God started to reveal this verse to me, it literally has changed my life. It's changed my prayer life. Every morning when I say my prayers for the day and when I connect with God, part of my prayer time is that I lift up my brothers and sisters all over the world that are persecuted for the sake of the gospel. It's caused me to have a different outlook on life. It's given me a different way that I perceive the problems and the trials that I go through. Because, you know, the trials that I go through are different than the trials that people are going through all over the world. They would love to have the problems that I have. They would love to have a financial pressure rather than a government pressure where they're holding a gun to their head and telling them to renounce Christ. They would much rather deal with the pressures and the burdens of how are we going to fill up the church service, because they don't even have a church building that they're gathering in. They would love to have the problems of, is anybody going to register for our conference? See, they don't get a conference. They don't get to meet out in the open. They don't get to openly praise the Lord. They have to hide in different places and buildings, or meet in homes, or in what we would call the underground church. Maybe they're in a prison cell and they don't have the freedoms that we enjoy. See, when I take a look at my brothers and sisters all over the world, and when I pray for them, it changes my heart about the world that I live in, and it changes my life. This morning, in fact, one of my sons, he woke up and he was just crying from the moment he wake up, right? Anybody have kids, you know, and they just have one of those days. And so he woke up whining, and it's like, oh man, you know, here we go. And so he's crying. What are you crying about? What's going on? It's not a big deal. It's okay. It's fine, you know. And so as the day was going on, he was getting dressed, and then he didn't have any clean shorts, right? We've had a busy week. We had, birthday parties and all sorts of stuff, plus getting ready for church and different things. And so here he was, and we hadn't done the laundry this week, and so he's crying that he didn't have any shorts. You know, it's the middle of August, and I don't have any shorts. It's going to be hot, and I can't wear pants, and I don't care if they got holes in the knees. That's not air conditioning, you know, and he's crying about everything. And finally, I had enough, and I wanted to give him a little bit of perspective. I said, I want you to march down to your room. I want you to open up your closet doors, and I want you to count how many t-shirts you have in your closet right now. And I don't want to do that. You march, boy, right? And so he got out of there, and he went down to his closet, and he counted the number of shirts. Why did I do that? Because I wanted to give him perspective. Boy, you are so blessed. There are people who, when you ask them, how many shirts do you have in your closet, they say, what's a closet? I don't have a closet. Shirts? This is my shirt. This is the one shirt I've got. This is my shirt. Somebody gave it to me, or I got it out of a trash heap because I didn't have any clothing. See, when you start to get a different perspective on life, it makes you grateful, and the problems that you have are no longer problems. They're blessings. And I believe today, as we get a hold of the word of the Lord, it's going to change the world that we live in. Some of you guys are believing God in your marriage, and somehow God's going to take this word today, and you're going to see about your prayer life, and your prayer life will literally change, and it's going to encourage and bless your marriage. Some of you guys believe in God in business. Some of you guys believe in God to make money and to prosper. You need God to break through on your behalf. You need God to move. Some of you guys are parents and believe in God for your children, and you don't know how you're going to encourage them or get the point across. But see, when we start to learn about our prayers, and specifically prayers for the persecuted church, it will change the world that you live in. See, we've been talking about spiritual battles, right? Talking about the armor. But spiritual battles are fought and won in prayer. See, the Bible says that the weapons of our warfare are carnal, but mighty through God for the pulling down of strongholds. I cannot fight a spiritual battle with natural means. It doesn't work, guys. You're not going to be able to go up against the devil and the demonic forces and the satanic forces that are on the earth, the powers, the principalities, all that, with a sword and a spear in the natural. It doesn't matter if you have a machine gun or a bomb or a nuke or any of that kind of stuff, a tank or an airplane. It's not going to work. And no matter how much you do in the natural, you cannot fight a spiritual battle with natural means. You have to fight the spiritual battle with spiritual means. And spiritual battles are fought, and they are one in prayers. You may go down to your knees in prayer, not knowing what to do, not knowing how to do it, not realizing what's going on and getting beaten from pillar to post. But when you rise up from your prayers, you rise up victorious. You rise up in the power of Christ. You rise up, then the battle has already been won because God is going to work on your behalf. We were there in Ephesians chapter 6 talking about the spiritual armor. Why don't you turn there with me in Ephesians, the 6th chapter. You remember we talked about we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities and against the power of the air and darkness and heavenly places. And so we understand that. And he said, take your stand. And having done all to stand, stand therefore when it's all over, but it's shouting, right? You got to stand your ground. And so he says, I want you to put on the whole armor of God. Get everything that you can get in this spiritual fight. And we talked about this, how we're to put on our helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the belt of truth. Our feet are supposed to be fitted with the readiness of the gospel of peace. We got the shield of faith and the sword of the Spirit. But I want you to notice something in verse number 18. Take a look at what it says. In verse number 18 of Ephesians, the 6th chapter, it says this. It says praying. Now stop right there for a second. Praying. Notice what it says there. Praying. That letter P on the first part of the word praying is not capitalized. In other words, this is not the start of a new sentence. This is not a new thought. This is a continuation. Put on your armor, get your armor on, get your swords up, get your shields out, and I want you to be praying. This is a part of the battle. This is the way that you're going to fight, is in prayer. So he says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. And he goes on, oh man, my page turned. I'm like, where is the verse? Right here. Okay, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. So he says, I want you to pray always, but I want you to pray with all prayer. Maybe you didn't know it today, but there is not just one kind of prayer. Prayer is simply talking with God. And you can say, well, that's all it is. Well, that's all we're going to do. All we're going to do is pray. How's a battle fought and won? Well, there are many different types of prayer. There are prayers of thanksgiving, right? Where you say, God, thank you. Thank you for life. Thank you for love. Thank you for Jesus, God. Thank you for the air I breathe. Thank you for the birds. Thank you for the trees. Thank you, God, for the food. Thank you for everything, God. Thank you for it all. Those are thank you prayers. Those are prayers of gratitude and appreciation for all that God has done for you. There are prayers of supplication. What is supplication? That's when you entwine yourself and you start to surround yourself with the desires of God and you start to ask God. Those are asking prayers. God, would you bless me? God, would you move in my life? God, would you save my family? God, would you provide for me? God, would you protect me? See, those are all things that we can ask God for in prayer. You know, there's prayers of repentance. Lord, I turned from my way. God, I was messed up. God, I was going the wrong direction. Lord, I repent of my way, God, and I go your way. God, I confess to you my sin. The Bible says that as we confess our sins, God's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That happens in prayer. That if we confess to the Lord, whoever confesses, opens up and renounces his sin will be forgiven. See, we can do that in prayer. There's all kinds of different prayers. There's prayers of agreement. The Bible says that when we agree upon anything as touching on the earth, that it's agreed upon in heaven. There's the prayer of faith, that when we have supernatural, unusual gifts of faith that have been given to us, we can just believe God. And in prayer, we can declare the will and the counsel of God, and we can believe that we receive those things that we ask, and we know that we have those things that we've asked of him. All kinds of prayer. There's prayer in the Spirit. There's prayers of intercession. All sorts of prayer. And he says, I want you guys to be praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Look at this, being watchful to this end with all perseverance. Stay in it. Sometimes I think that we give up too quickly on our prayers. But God's saying, are you in it to win it? How long are you going to stick with that prayer? Did you give up on your prayers for your business after a month? Did you give up on your prayers for your marriage after a year? Did you give up on your prayers for your children after it looked bleak and they told you, stop praying for me, stop preaching to me, I don't want to have anything to do with your God? How much do you want it? Are you willing to endure the trial and the pain and the process of time in order to get your prayers? He says, with all perseverance, stand up under that trial. Stay with it. Having done all to stand, therefore, get your armor on and get your prayers on, because God wants to move in your life, but he's looking at your life to see how long you're going to stick with it. And supplication for all the saints. Everybody say all the saints. See, he says, I want you guys to pray for each other. I want you guys to lift up the body of Christ. And don't you know that all the saints includes those that are a part of the persecuted church? Now the next verse goes on in verse number 19, and take a look at what it says in Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 19, and he says, and for me. Paul, the great apostle, says, I want you guys to pray for me. That's shocking, isn't it? We would think this is the great apostle. This is the one whose miracles, signs, and wonders have been done at his hand. This is the one who was sent by Jesus. I mean, he was knocked off his high horse by Jesus himself. And Jesus was speaking to him. Jesus gave him a commission. Jesus opened his eyes. Jesus is the one that sent him out there into the nations. And he's setting up churches. This is the great apostle. Wrote 2/3 of the books of the New Testament. I mean, apostle Paul, I don't understand why you would want me to pray for you. I want you to pray for me. Because obviously you're so great and so wonderful that your prayers get answered. But the Apostle Paul says, I want you guys to pray for me. Pray for me. Look at what he asks for. He says, pray for me that utterance may be given to me, and that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. Wait a second, Paul. You're a big mouth for Jesus. You got in Peter's face. Paul, you're a big mouth, and you're asking me to pray for you to open your mouth boldly? Look at verse number 20. For which I am an ambassador in chains. You know, throughout the Bible, you'll find the apostle writing, remember my chains. Remember that I'm in prison. Did you know that Paul was a part of the persecuted church? That the Jews actually would follow him from city to city to city and mess up his meetings and try and frustrate his efforts for the sake of the gospel. The Apostle Paul, the Bible says he was shipwrecked, he was snake bit, but also he received the 40 lashes minus one 3 times from the Jews. They beat him, they stoned him to death, thinking he was dead. They dragged him outside of the cities, and the disciples surrounded him and lifted him up. See, this guy was persecuted. He was a part of the persecuted church, and he writes this letter to the Ephesians and says, I am an ambassador of Christ. We're all an ambassador of Christ, but he says, I'm an ambassador in chains. They've got me locked up. They're trying to shut me up, and he says, so I need your prayers to strengthen me while I'm here in chains, and I want you guys, as you're praying for me, to remember that I am an ambassador in chains, that I may open my mouth boldly as I ought to. You know what their prayers work, because we find out in the book of Philippians that he says the whole palace guard has known what I'm all about and what the gospel is all about. And my chains have actually promoted the gospel and they have furthered the gospel so that even the palace guard knows what's going on when it comes to the sake of the gospel. They all know why I'm here. So we're to pray for the persecuted church, but here's someone who is in chains asking for prayer. And I think that if we could dream, or if we could imagine the persecuted church speaking to us today, all of them, this would be their cry, that they are an ambassador of Jesus Christ. They represent Jesus Christ, and they're saying, remember me in your prayers. Remember my chains. Remember that I would love to have the freedoms you have, but I'm behind bars right now, or I'm in chains right now. I'm in bonds. I'm in prison right now. And would you pray for me that I may be able to continue to run my race with joy and continue to be able to preach the gospel, and that God would use that message to go and to save souls anywhere I go. So the question for all of us is then, how do we do this? How should we pray for the persecuted church? If God is telling us, remember those that are in chains and pray for them, then how should we pray for them? Well, I believe the answer is found in Hebrews chapter 13, verse number 3. Take a look at it with me one more time. Hebrews the 13th chapter, verse number 3 says this. He says, remember the prisoners as if chained with them. As if chained with them. The first thing that I see in this verse is that we are to pray as if chained with them. See, prayer for someone far off is casual. It's cold. It's distant. But when you're together, linked up with somebody, now all of a sudden the prayer is passionate. Now all of a sudden the prayer is different. To illustrate this, I've got some chains here, and these are some handcuffs. And so, let's say that I am an ambassador of Jesus Christ, and I'm in chains here, okay? I'm locked up for the sake of the gospel, okay? So let me see. Is that my buddy? Is Jared? Jared sitting there? Come here, Jared. This is my friend Jared. You guys know Jared. He's got a great singing voice, right? And Jared is a great part of our church, been a part of our church for a long time. Jared, why don't you come stand right up here on this side of the stage, just right over there, okay? Now I know Jared pretty well. I know his family, that sort of thing. I know he's got, just right there is good. And I know Jared is married. I know he's got two babies, right? Little Jared Jr. came along recently. He's the cutest little thing you ever seen in your entire life. And so, you know, if I was to pray for Jared, I'd be like, okay, Lord, I pray for Jared. I pray for his marriage. Pray that they have a good marriage. I pray for his family. I pray that he's a good dad. I pray that he raises those two beautiful children in the will and the way of the Lord. And God bless Jared. Bless Jared. That'd be my prayers. Those are good prayers. But something's different. Jared, meet me up front right here for a second. Jared, you've been serving. Come sit on the stage with me for a second. Jared, you've been serving the Lord, and you just got people mad at you, and now you're getting locked up for the sake of the gospel. Jared, you're in chains with me. I hope I remembered the key. Because I got to go to the bathroom after this, and that's going to be a little awkward. But see, something's different with proximity, isn't it? Something's different this prayer than across the stage prayer. Because Jared, how you doing, man?
Doing good.
You're doing good. Is this comfortable on you?
It feels great.
You're okay with that? Okay. All right. Because mine hurts, and you're pulling on it a little bit there. It's twisting. No, it's okay. You can leave it. But you know, like, what's going on in your life?
Not much.
Not much. Are you working?
Working.
You're working. Jared, do you have any prayer requests?
Oh yeah,
tons. Tons of prayer. Really?
Yeah.
Tell me some.
You can pray for my family.
Pray for your family. Okay. I was praying for your family.
My wife.
For your wife. What about your wife?
That you help her with work and raising our kids.
She's working and raising the kids. So you guys are both working. And is that difficult for her to go to work and to leave the babies?
Is it difficult? Yeah. That's what we're praying for.
Smart man, honey. What do we think? Right? Smart man. I'm glad you learned that early on in the marriage. It took me years to get there. So pray for your wife. What else? What other prayer requests you got?
Pray for our church.
Pray for the church. What's going on in the church?
That we keep growing our music.
Music ministry and growth in the church. See, prayer is different. I prayed for his wife, but Lord, I pray, God, that as she goes to work, Lord, that you give her the wisdom of God, that you give her direction, God, that the pain that she feels as she leaves their two children, God, that she would be graced and gifted to be able to be a mom, Lord, when she's home and be 100% home. And then when she goes, God, that you would protect those babies, Lord, you'd watch over them, that they would not feel any void. See, the prayers are different, aren't they? Father God, I pray for Jared's church, Lord, that you would continue to grow it and use the music ministry, God, to bring people to a place of worship. God, use Jared. He's locked up in chains right now, but God, you said in your word that as Paul and Silas lifted up praises and they sang songs in the midnight hour, Lord, that their praise and that their songs literally had all the chains fall off. So I pray for my brother Jared as he sings, God, that Lord, you release these chains from his life, God, and that God, that you would move on his behalf. Thank you, bro. You can go back to your seat. Love you. God is good. See, that's why we need to remember them as if chained with them, because our prayers will change. You know, when you start to take a look at what's going on in the world, sometimes we get angry. Sometimes we take a look at the news and it just angers us. You grit your teeth, you yell, man, these people are all idiots. Not anybody in this church. You guys don't do that. Somebody over at the other church down the street, I know. And so none of us would do that. But sometimes, you know, we get discouraged when we take a look at world events, don't we? We see things and we go, why isn't anybody doing anything about this? But rather than get frustrated, rather than get in fear, rather than get angry, rather than shout and yell and scream and do nothing about it, we need to get on our knees and we need to pray for the nations. We need to pray for our brothers and sisters that are in those areas. You know, God, the Bible says God was talking to the prophet Elijah there in the cave, and Elijah thought he was the only one. And sometimes when we watch the news or when we hear about world events or you see something on social media, we feel like, am I the only one? And yet God says, I've got reserved a remnant in that place that will serve me. They have not bowed their knee, and they need our prayers. They need us to be lifting up. The people in Iraq need us to be praying for them, for the refugees, for the Kurdish believers who are displaced. We need to be praying for the people in North Korea. Guys, there are believers in North Korea that need our prayers. We need to pray for the people of Iran. You know, there were churches that were built early on in Iran, and there were godly people that were there in that place, and there are pastors and people that are trying to preach the gospel there, and they need our prayers. They don't need our anger. They don't need our hate. They don't need our division. Listen, guys, there are people in Charlottesville, Virginia, that are believers that need our prayers. We need to pray. We need to get on our knees and pray. We need to do everything that we can do to approach the throne of God, because our prayers have tremendous power. Sometimes you say, well, all you're going to do is pray. No, we need to march. We need to sign a petition. We need to go. I was in a meeting not too long ago, and there were these institutions, religious organizations, and they approached a group of pastors in the Southern California area, and they invited me to come, and so I went out, and they opened up what was going on in their lives. There was some legislation in our government, and this legislation was going to change the way that they did business. It was going to hinder them. It was going to hurt them and potentially change the way that they did business, and they've been enjoying some freedoms, and now all of a sudden these freedoms are getting taken away. And so they said, you know what, guys, it's kind of the 11th hour. We apologize. We should have included you in on this conversation a lot earlier so that you guys could encourage us and pray for us and that sort of thing. But here we are, and we would appreciate your prayers. And so there in this room, we gathered together as pastors, and we bowed and we prayed and we asked God. We approached the throne. I mean, it was a powerful, it was tangible. I mean, in the room, you could feel the presence of God. You could feel the power of our prayers going out. I mean, we were praying for our state. We were praying for the leaders. We were praying for these organizations. There was unity. There was beautiful expressions of love going forth. I mean, it was wonderful. It was electric. And as we raised up our heads, I felt so good. I felt so connected to everybody in that room. And then they opened it up and they said, does anybody have any questions or comments or anything that you'd like to say at this time? We want to hear from you guys now. You've heard from us. And as they started to talk and they would write down the suggestions and things like that, my heart just started to sink, because I heard the same people, some of the same people, not all of them, but some of them that had missed it. They missed out on the power of their own prayers, because they were saying, hey, we prayed, but you know what? You're going to lose us if you don't use us. And you better put us to work. We need to get buses, and we need to get all the people on the church into buses. And then we need to go to Sacramento, and we need to have a petition, and we need to do all this stuff. And I'm thinking, don't you guys realize we just got it done in the spirit right now? Don't you realize what we just did? We could close it up and go home right now. Nobody needs to get on a bus. It doesn't matter if you go down down and knock on the door of our Capitol, you're not getting a meeting. They're not going to pay any attention. You're not going to get noticed. But tell you something right now, God noticed. God hears. I got a meeting with Jesus, and I got entrance into the throne room, and I just got something done because the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord, and he directs it like a water course wherever he desires. See, we have more power in prayer than we realize. We need to understand that we can get something done in the spirit. We need to pray as if chained with people, but we also need to pray as if feeling their pain. You see that in the word. Look at what it says, Hebrews chapter 13, verse 3 in the New Living Translation. It says, remember those in prison as if you were there yourself. Remember also those being mistreated as if you felt their pain in your own bodies. You know, if you've ever hurt yourself, if you've ever had a broken bone or you've had a certain surgery, that sort of thing, you find somebody else going through the same thing, your heart goes out to them. You're like, ooh, I remember that. I know what you're talking about. Let me pray for you. And your prayers are different, right? You pray for somebody with a cast, Lord, I pray that they won't itch down where they can't get a pencil in there, right? I wouldn't pray that prayer. I've never broken a bone. But somebody who's had a broken bone, Lord, I just pray, God, that as they take that off and their skin is two different colors, they won't freak out, God. Right? Those are prayers that people who have been through something and they know and experience the pain of themselves that they can pray. Why? Because they experience it in the same way. We need to take a look and allow our hearts to be touched. Allow ourselves to be moved, not isolate ourselves, not insulate ourselves from the pain of others, but allow ourselves to feel the pain of others so that we can pray the way that God would have us to pray. I had a friend and they had come over to the United States a number of years ago, and they've been an acquaintance over the years and talked to them and that sort of a thing and see them around town and different stuff like that. And they know I'm a pastor, and so every now and then they'd ask me to pray for them. And I found out part of their story was that they had fled persecution in their nation and come over to the United States. And most of the time when they asked me to pray for them, they asked for things like this. Hey, we're looking for work. Could you pray for us to find a job? You know, my husband needs a job. My wife needs a job, that sort of thing. And, absolutely, I'll pray for you. You know, and our kids are going back to school. Would you pray for them? Oh, sure, I'll pray for your kids, you know. And my prayers have been like this. God, would you supply a job for them? Lord, they're looking and you know, they fled persecution, God, and here they are in the States starting a new life. Pray that they get a job. Lord, I pray for their kids as they go back to school. I know it's got to be hard being from another nation and now they're starting new. God, would you get them some friends and that sort of thing? Just basic, simple prayers. Ask me about prayers for immigration and different things like that. God, move on their behalf. Sure, I'll pray for you. God, I pray that the immigration paperwork goes through quickly. And I prayed for them. I've been faithful to pray for them. They've been wonderful people that I've known over the years. And the other day I was with them and talking to them and one of our other friends came up and I didn't know if they knew each other. I said, hey, do you know them? And almost with pride, I said, they're here in the States. They fled persecution. Isn't it awesome to know someone like that, you know? Kind of like, yeah. And they said, oh yeah, you don't know the half of it. And they started to open up about the pains that they went through. Started to talk about the beatings, the stabbings, the fear that they wouldn't even send their children to school because they didn't know what was going to happen to them on the way to school. Started talking about the imprisonments, started to talk about the hospital visits, things that I never knew that they went through. With tears in their eyes, they started to talk about the suffering and the pain and the loss. And I had no idea of the atrocities that they went through. And my heart was just pierced. And at the end of that conversation, our other friend left and they turned to me and they said, Pastor, will you pray for me? Don't you know I grabbed a hold of them right there? I said, we're getting this done right now. God, you got to move on this situation. Lord, did you hear what they went through, God? I mean, come on, Lord. They've been through enough. God, it's time to move on their behalf. See, when you feel someone else's pain, you will pray differently than when you just are knowing about a situation or it's just a mental thing. Now, all of a sudden, it comes from your heart. God is looking for a passionate prayer. I heard that D.L. Moody had said that some people's prayers need to be cut short at the ends and lit on fire in the middle, because it's not until you get involved in your prayers that God will get involved in your prayers. Remember, Jesus said, I don't want your vain repetitions. I don't want just casual, you know, I guess I ought to pray. I guess it's the thing to do. No, listen, get involved in your prayers. Even if it's your custom, even if it's your routine, don't let it be routine. You get in there and it's time to pray. It's time to get my heart involved in this. God, I need you. God, I want you. God, I gotta have you. God, if you don't get involved in this, it ain't gonna get done. That's the kind of prayers God's looking for. Passionate prayers. James chapter 5, verse 16. The last part of that verse says this: the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Notice he didn't say the casual, haphazard, half-hearted prayer, get something done. No, he said the effective, fervent prayer. There's something that happens when you include your perspiration and the inspiration of your heart into your prayers. Now all of a sudden God says, ah, look at that. I see faith right now and I'm going to get to work on that. I love how it says it in the Amplified Bible, the same James chapter 5 verse 16, last part in the Amplified Bible says this, the heartfelt and persistent prayer of a righteous man, a believer, notice what it says in parentheses, a believer, that's all of us that are born of the Spirit of God. If we're not heartfelt, if we're not persistent, if we're letting up, we're quitting on our prayers, we think they're bouncing off the roof, listen, you're not going to get anything from the Lord. You're a double-minded man, unstable in all of your ways, or you ask amiss so that you can spend it on your pleasures, James says. James says, get in your prayers, get involved in it, show up, get in the game when it comes to prayer. This is where the battle is fought and it's won, and if you're brain dead in your prayers, you're going to be losing the battles of life. But he says, if you get your armor on, get your swords up and your shields out, and you start to pray, and you get involved in your prayers, and you feel the pain, and you are chained together with them, then now all of a sudden, I'm going to start moving on your behalf and moving on the earth. Come on, somebody, give the Lord a praise. It says that the heartfelt and persistent prayer of a righteous man, a believer, can accomplish much. Look at this. When put into action and made effective by God. See, when you get involved in your prayers with your heart, with your faith, with your persistence, with your blood, sweat, and tears, now God gets involved in it. God makes it where you couldn't make it happen on your own. You cannot get a meeting with the President of the United States of America. You cannot go into the Oval Office and talk to him. But guess what you can do? You can pray and God can get in the Oval Office and God can get that man's attention and God can make a change on the earth. You cannot get a bunch of people on a bus. I suppose you could, but I don't think you'd get very many who are going to get on a bus and drive across the nation and go down in Virginia to Charlottesville and talk some sense into these people that are doing foolish things and that are taking us backwards rather than forwards, what we fought for decades in this nation. These people are trying to rip us apart. That is the plan of the enemy. That is the devil that's doing that, trying to steal, kill, and destroy and divide us. Listen, no, but your prayers, you can unite. You can join together as the body of Christ. Black, white, Mexican, Asian, every color on the earth, every tribe, every nation, every tongue coming together for the unity of the body of Christ. You can get that done in prayer. Enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord comes in and raises up a standard, and you can win that battle in prayer. It's dynamic, and it can have tremendous power. Wow, that's the power. See, we don't think our prayers have any power. That's why we don't pray. We think it's just vain, that it's just, well, I guess I got to go pray. I guess that's what Christians do. We read our Bible and we pray, and we lose out on the power that God wants to put into effect in our lives. You wondering why your prayers aren't getting answered? Because you're not involved in your prayers. God wants to get involved in your prayers, but God's looking for your heart. He's looking for you to really want it, where you got to have it, where you're desperate, and if God doesn't move, it's not going to get done. That's the kind of prayer that gets stuff done on the earth. Last one is this. Pray because you are connected to them. Notice what it says once again in Hebrews, the 13th chapter, verse number 3. Hebrews chapter 13, verse number 3. Remember the prisoners as if chained with them, those who are mistreated, since you yourselves are in the body also. He says you're connected to them. Did you know that you are not only connected to them in the body, but you are also family? I heard the story of a man who was watching a construction site, and they were putting up big building. They had steel structures all up, and they were pouring concrete on the different floors and different levels and all that kind of a thing. And as they were pouring that concrete, the man was just watching. He was fascinated by all the machinery, the equipment, all the different hoists raising things up, and he's just watching it with wonder. And as he stood there, he was watching it, and suddenly a big crack, a large sound just came on, and the whole side of the building just collapsed. And he stood there in bewilderment, and he couldn't move. He was paralyzed, and he just said, oh no, oh no, what are we going to do? Oh no, oh no. And while he was just standing there doing nothing, people were running by him, going to the scene, pulling things off as they could, getting stuff taken care of, digging out concrete and whatever they could do. And he just stood there, oh no, oh no, oh no. When suddenly somebody who was running down to help out turned around and looked at him and said, hey, isn't your brother in that building? And at that moment, the man ran into action and jumped in there and started digging. Listen, guys, when we feel like there's nothing we can do, when we get paralyzed, when we see in the news media another terrorist attack, another car has been driven into another crowd or into another building, when we see the loss and the suffering on the earth, when we hear about nuclear war and different things that are taking place, we can stand there and say, oh no, oh no, oh no, what are we going to do? Or we can realize, my brother's there, my sister's there, there are Christians in that nation that need my prayers, and we can get involved and start praying for the people of that nation and that region. You remember Abraham, right? Here's Abraham, and he's interceding before God on behalf of Sodom and Gomorrah. Guess what? He didn't care about Sodom and Gomorrah. Those people were ungodly. That's why we have the term sodomy, is because of what was going on in Sodom and Gomorrah. And so here God says, shouldn't I tell Abraham what I'm doing since I've got a covenant with him and since I'm going to bless all the nations of the earth? Abraham, I'm going to go down and destroy this land. I'm going to take these people out. And Abraham knew that his nephew was in that place. And he said, well, God, let me ask you a question. If you allow me to, what if you found 50 righteous people there in Sodom and Gomorrah? Would you destroy the city for the sake of the 50 righteous? And God said, no, for the sake of the 50 righteous, I will not destroy it. Abraham said, well, God, hold on. I got another question. Allow me to ask. What if there was five less? What if there was 45? And God said, I won't destroy it for the sake of the 45. And Abraham says, well, what about 30? Well, God, what about 20? God, don't be angry with me. God, just allow me. I know I'm just a worm. I'm just a man. I'm just dust, God. But God, what if there was only 10 righteous in that? Would you destroy it for the sake of the 10? See, Abraham cared so much about his nephew that he would not only approach God, but he would approach him again and again and again and again. And he stayed after his prayers and he whittled God all the way down to 10. And we know the rest of the story. God couldn't even find 10 righteous in that place. He found Lot, his wife, and his two daughters, and they didn't even barely make it out because Lot was lingering and waiting, and the angel had to take hold of him and rip him out of there for the sake of Abraham, whom God loved. See, that was God's friend. Listen, you are a friend of God. You are a brethren of Jesus Christ. You are a part of the family of God, and you have family connected all over the world. And God wants you to see what's going on the earth and not get paralyzed and say, oh no, oh no, oh no, what are we going to do? No, God wants you to say, hey God, what about the people that are in that region? What about the Christians? What about the believers? God, they're your sons and daughters. God, are you going to destroy them for the sake of the people there? And God will keep those people safe. He will bless them. He will raise them up. He will heal them. He will encourage them. Why? Because there's a people at the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. There's a Christian body of Christ on the earth that's going to lift them up, remember their chains, feel their pains, and we're going to pray for them because we're connected to them. Stand to your feet today. Stand to your feet. I want to talk about it and not do it. Today, I'm not going to wait until your alarm goes off. I'm not going to wait until you have some time on your own to pray. We're going to pray for the persecuted church, and we're going to get our hearts involved. Today, you've heard many examples of things that are going on the earth. Maybe you don't know what's going on. Maybe you know a little bit about what's going on. Maybe you're very connected to this, and it's very dear to your heart. But I want you to just gather up. Gather up groups of two or three, four at the most, and I want you to pray for the persecuted church and get your heart in there as you pray. Let's pray together. Come on, lift up your voices to the Father. Gather up in groups. Don't stare at me. Come on, it's not time to stare. This time to pray, and let's get involved. Let's pray for the persecuted church for the next couple of minutes. Father God, we thank you that today as we pray, Lord, that you are the God who answers prayer and that you are moving on behalf of our brothers and sisters all over the world, suffering and persecuted. Lord, we love you and we give you praise and thanks. In Jesus' mighty name, everybody in agreement said, amen. Come on, let's give the Lord a great big praise today. Hallelujah.
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.